You're in the 06010.
Every weekday. Take that back. Welcome to Fantasy Focus again. Today's podcast is presented by Geico. You can watch us every weekday at 11 a.m. Eastern time on ESPN's Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube feeds, as well as the ESPN app. And you can download the Fantasy Focus with wherever you get to your podcasts. Happy Friday, December 10th. Field, Matthew, Stefania, and Daniel, we are all here to not just preview the rest of Week 14, but also recap last night's game between the Minnesota Vikings and the Pittsburgh Steelers, a game that looked like it was going to be a blowout, and then it wasn't because Minnesota Vikings. Matthew, good morning to you. That was quite the second half there from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I mean, it was. Yeah. Like, I feel so bad for Vikings fans. Like, even in a win, I feel bad for them because it's like that you're like, you know what? Finally, I get a game off. Finally, I can sit back, relax, maybe talk a little trash to some buddies. And then, of course, Kirk Cousins happens. I put the reason it was close on Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
I mean, I think
partially defense, the interception obviously kind of was a tipping point.
But there were two interceptions.
Like the first one was when the Steelers started to get some life back, and then the second one obviously made that kind of a nail biter. Yeah, it was not his best effort.
A bad game. Kirk Cousins, I don't know what it is. And I like Kirk Cousins. You know this. Like, I'm a fan of Kirk Cousins, but like, he struggles in prime time. He was off target on a lot of throws. He made the throw to KJ Osborne was a great throw. But other than that, like, he was bad last night.
More on Thursday Night Football coming up in just a bit. We'll also have all the injuries that you need to know. Stefania is, of course, here with all the latest information. We will also do the pressing questions going into Week 14. But there's just a moment here. Sad news, incredibly sad news last night. Anybody here who has followed the show for several years or just followed the NFL knows the name Demaryius Thomas, a 2010 first-round pick out of Georgia Tech, played for the Denver Broncos, finished up his career with the Patriots and the Jets, passed away yesterday at the age of 33. Obviously, incredibly tragic news for a man who many knew because of his football aptitude, but somebody who more importantly overcame a ton in life and was one of the more inspiring characters and people that you'll find over the past decade or so in the NFL.
There's no question about it. Look, anyone dying is sad. It's awful, right? And then you think about, obviously, somebody that is well-known within the football community, within the fantasy football community, for his exploits not only on the field, but, as you noted, off the field, as well, right? He was somebody that was beloved in and around every community he was in. And then you think about the fact that 33 years old, not that there's ever a good time to die, but for somebody that was so young and so accomplished, you feel awful. Like, it's just, and you know, we don't know a lot of details yet, but shocking, out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere, indeed. Expected, was going to turn 34 later on this month. Put some perspective. I'm 34 years old. It puts some perspective on your life. There's been a ton of coverage, and I would encourage you, if you have the time, to go read some of the incredible tributes. I know Stefania had a chance to catch up with Jeff Legwald this morning. Stefania, our Leggy, is our Broncos reporter, does a great job covering them and had some personal anecdotes that he shared that really bring even more emotions to an already really difficult situation.
That's right. You know, I was fortunate enough to meet Demaryius Thomas very early in his career. And you may remember back in the lockout, he was rehabbing and I was covering that. And I spent a lot of time with him. And he was just as kind and sweet when he entered the NFL as he was years later after he was a big star. And really just a treat to be able to speak with him and to get to know him a little bit. Jeff Legwald certainly got to know him quite well, covering the Broncos as he did. I highly, highly recommend his piece, which gives you a lot of insight into the person Demaryius Thomas was and why he was so universally beloved in the football community.
And, you know, I also met him once. I mean, at a fantasy football event, and like, wouldn't say I know him well, you know, but what I would tell you is that interacting with him and more importantly, seeing him interact with fans was incredible, right? You know, I mean, just, was highly engaged and really charming, and you know, every fan that came to it, left with a smile, and was a bigger Demaryius Thomas fan.
At the age of 33, certainly gone far too soon. We'll continue to keep Demaryius Thomas and his loved ones in our thoughts right now. Rest in peace to a good man and somebody that will not be forgotten. No easy way to pivot from a real-life situation to a fantasy situation, but we're going to do our best to give you as much fantasy insight as we can for the next 55 or so minutes. And as we always do, we'll begin with our Thursday Night Football recap. And the Thursday Night Football recap is brought to you by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and car insurance. Go to geico.com today. Let's go back to the game that we were discussing earlier. 36-28 is the final. The Vikings were up 23-0. They just did absolutely whatever they wanted in the first half. We'll talk about them in a minute. But the Steelers made this kind of competitive, Matthew, for the third time in his past four games. Ben Roethlisberger has shown out fantasy-wise, but he had two top eight finishes in the past 3 weeks. And with 24.8 fantasy points last night, he's got a real chance to finish inside that top eight again this week. I don't know if the eye test tells you this guy's playing great football, but with the way that they're playing defense right now and the need to throw the ball a ton, Ben may have worked his way right back into fantasy relevance down the stretch.
If you go and look at my love-hate column, which is up now on ESPN.com, Ben Roethlisberger was on the list. He made the love list and the others receiving votes that I thought he would have a nice, usable game. Last night, he did. If the Steelers' defense is going to continue to be this bad, and they were. Now, they were missing Joe Hayden last night, which obviously makes a difference, but still, they were bad. I mean, make no mistake, like, this was a lot of comeback mode. And so if their defense is going to continue to be bad, Field, and nothing that we saw last night suggests that they're suddenly going to turn the corner. I mean, they had a decent second half, but, like, again, I would argue that that was more
self-inflicted than
significant pressure. I mean, I think the Steelers did do one thing. They were like, you know what? We're just going to put a bunch of guys on the line and we're going to stop Dalvin Cook. We're going to make Kirk Cousins beat us. And then sure, Kirk Cousins couldn't. Yeah, I mean, I do think they're going to have to throw a lot more than they want to. They came into the season wanting to run the ball and be very run-heavy with Najee Harris, and I don't think they're going to be able to. Ben Roethlisberger now has multiple touchdown passes in four of his past five games, and so it's always, would you feel great in the fantasy playoffs with Ben as your quarterback? No, but if I'm in a deeper league, a two-quarterback league, if I'm desperate, like, he's on the lists of, like, okay, let me see who's out there. He's on the list of viable streamers now, which I think he wasn't a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, maybe somebody used him to replace Jalen Hurts this week. One of the four quarterbacks is on a bye this week, the most fantasy relevant, that much is for sure. You mentioned that Steelers defense probably won't get that much better as their two best pass rushers and easily the best player on their team, T.J. Watt, left the game with a groin injury.
Yep.
Same thing with Alex Highsmith, their second-year rusher out of Charlotte, who left the game with a knee injury, so they could be potentially out. This is the third time that T.J. Watt has left a game due to injury this season. He also had a stint on the COVID list, and yet he still has had a remarkable campaign. Speaks just how good of a player he is. Najee Harris has a monster game, most in the second half, 25.4 fantasy points. A good reminder that it doesn't matter how, it's how many when it pertains to fantasy points. He's going to be a lock-it-in top 10 running back basically every game this season, even if inefficient at times. He had two touchdowns. That was good. The pass catchers, a lot of them did well. Diontae Johnson had five catches on 76 targets, no touchdowns, but still clearly the best player. That's the part that matters, right?
Five catches on 10 targets. You said five catches on 76 targets.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's really poor inefficiency.
Sorry, really bad. Five catches on 10 targets for 76 yards, excuse me.
And should have had a much bigger day.
Could have had a bigger day, but you know, clearly the guy that is the focal point of their offense, and that's every single game he's played in this year, at least 11 fantasy points. Chase Claypool has been ostracized plenty so far this morning for something he did at the end of the game, but he still had a good fantasy night if you started them. Eight catches, 93 yards, plus two rushing yards. What is he taking heat for? At the end of the game, with Pittsburgh driving and looking to make this miraculous comeback.
And out of timeouts.
Out of timeouts, Chase Claypool catches a pass, converts a first down, gets up, takes the time to do a little point to make sure everybody knows
gets he on a knee,
got a first down.
And
a teammate came over to try to grab the ball and bring it back to the middle of the field so they could spike it and stop the clock. He comes over, tries to grab it. The ball gets bobbled. Next thing you know, probably five or six valuable seconds run off the clock. They had just one play at the end of the game to try to throw a pass into the end zone. But still, for fantasy purposes, Chase Claypool was just fine. We'll keep an eye on whether he faces any sort of discipline from his own coach, as clearly Mike Tomlin's cup has runneth over with some of the shenanigans right now from Chase Claypool, from the comment about needing more music during practice and then this. But I think the bottom line is, Matt, you nailed it. Like, as it pertains to Pittsburgh pass catchers, the important part is that they're set up for big days because they're going to be behind frequently, which all Fox repeatedly showed the stats last night. This is not just a bad Steelers defense. This is like the worst Steelers defense in like 70 years.
Sure.
That's how bad they are. We are not seeing the typical version of this Steelers team. Far from it. Let's get to the Vikings because we have so much to get to.
Can I ask just a real quick question? And I understand that we might not know until a little bit later in the week, but you're starting the playoffs next week. How on earth do you feel like, are you not worried that Chase Claypool could literally get benched by the coach who said he could bench him heading into a playoff matchup this week?
Here's the good news. It's Mike Tomlin. If he's going to get benched, Mike Tomlin's not going to mince words. He's not going to be coy about it. He's going to come out and say, I'm benching Chase Claypool for the first half of this game. Or he's going to say, no, there's no punishment. We just had to tell him to get his act together. Mike Tomlin is as good as it gets in terms of offering updates and statuses.
Yeah, and if he's going to do it, he's going to do it to send a message. And when you send a message, you don't send a message quietly.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. We also have 10 days until the playoffs. Only thing I'll mention on the Steelers that you didn't really get to, Field, is just Pat Freiermuth. Again, on only three targets, still a productive fantasy day because one of them's a touchdown and honestly should have had a second touchdown that last play of the game. Should have held on to it.
He's been sort of Hunter Henry-ish recently, right?
Yeah, like,
not a ton of catches every single week and not a ton of yards, but lots of touchdowns. Six touchdowns in seven games for Freiermuth.
Ever since Juju Smith-Schuster went out for the year, he's been, you know, a locked-in tight end one and nothing. And there have been some weeks where he's gotten a lot more targets than he did in this one. But six touchdowns in seven games since their week seven bye for the man they call Muth.
Let's get to the Vikings, and we'll try to run through this quick. You mentioned that Kirk Cousins struggled last night, completed less than 50% of his passes.
Brutal.
He had two touchdowns. He had two picks, but he left tons of throws out there on the field. I mean, there was one. Justin Jefferson had seven catches on 15 targets, and I'm here to tell you it wasn't Justin Jefferson's fault, right? Less than 50% catch rate for a guy who was seemingly open all day, and Jefferson nearly had a couple of miracle catches. He still got you 20 and a half fantasy points because he's Justin Jefferson and the guy has absolutely no weaknesses in his game whatsoever. But Kirk Cousins let his teammates down with some of those big plays and probably your fantasy lineup down as well.
He's my quarterback in the War Room League. I mean, this is one of the reasons why, I mean, it drove me crazy, right? Because I have an important game this week. And so very, very frustrating. You know, again, it's a 16-team league. So, and Cousins has been very good this year fantasy-wise, but last night he was brutal. He was brutal, and honestly, you're lucky to get out of there with 14 points for Kirk Cousins just on the way he played on the field.
Sure.
Honestly, without that K.J. Osborne touchdown, and that was a great play. It was a great throw and a great catch by Osborne, but without that one play, like, it was looking ugly. One of the reasons Cousins did not play well, but one of the other challenges for his fantasy value last night was the fact that Dalvin Cook was awesome.
He was unbelievable. And Stefania, I was told he was hurt. I am not going to believe that based off what I saw last night.
Yeah, well, he was wearing a harness. You could see the little strap around his arm. That's the way those harnesses work, is they have a strap that's like kind of around the cuff of where your biceps is, and it attaches to the chest. So it basically keeps their arm going out and away from their body to reduce the risk of dislocating, because that was his original injury. He dislocated that shoulder. A couple things. This was a shoulder that he'd injured in the past. So while people were surprised, and I admittedly was surprised he came back on a Thursday night just because it was so soon after the game that he missed, really not that much time, he has dealt with this type of injury before. Sometimes when you have a recurrent dislocation, you're better able to get over the hurdle the first time. But I also was concerned, like, how would he handle contact? I mean, granted, he didn't have to face a ton when he had some of those outside runs. He was just up and through these giant holes. But landing, people on top of him, getting the shoulder put into weird positions, it didn't seem to affect him one bit. So that's great news going forward.
Yeah, he's an amazing player, obviously. The offensive line was spectacular as well, and the Steelers front seven. Did you forget? Did they think they were on a bye for the first half? Good Lord.
I don't know what it was. They did not play well. They did not show up. But credit to Dalvin Cook. And by the way, hopefully you started Dalvin Cook. I mean, we screamed it from the rooftops, or at least I did on social media. I got so many questions. I had an Instagram live yesterday. I got a ton of questions about it on that. And I kept saying, and I tweeted it out, start Dalvin Cook. It's interesting. Our friend Rich Eisen does a radio show, texted me at about 1:30 and said, hey, I'm sitting here. I've got four running backs for three spots, and one of them's Dalvin Cook. Do I start Dalvin Cook tonight, or do I start these other guys? And it was like Montgomery and Chuba Hubbard and somebody else, I forget. And I texted him back and said, absolutely start Dalvin Cook. And so, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because he put it on the air and then he tweeted out the video of it. Apparently he texted me and two other fantasy analysts.
Okay.
And said the exact, sent us all three the same question. He was like, he made a bit of it. And then we all sent our responses to him, you know, privately. We texted him privately. And then he said, do you mind if I read this on the air? And I'm like, yeah, I don't care. You know, knock yourself out. I'm giving you the same advice I've given publicly. Start Dalvin Cook and Alexander Mattison. Super, super risky. Anyway, so he read all three of our responses, and I'm not going to, anyway, all three of our responses were different.
Okay.
And so I'll just say that. And so it was, just, way, it was very interesting.
Only
so
one,
I texted Richard, like, please tell me you started Dalvin Cook, because on the show, and this is the clip that show account tweeted out, he debated back and forth because one of the other pieces of advice he was like, they're probably just activating Dalvin Cook as a decoy. He's just like, and so anyway.
The only
anyway.
Point of clarity I have, did you refer to Rich Eisen as the host of a radio show? Is that what comes to mind for you when you think of Rich Eisen?
Well, he was doing a radio show. I mean, okay, Rich Eisen's the face of the NFL Network.
I was gonna say, he's an ESPN legend.
Yeah.
He does a radio show as well. Yeah,
no, he hosts a TV show that's a podcast. He's the host of the NFL Network. He hosts the NFL Draft. He is a broadcasting legend. He is a wonderful human being, by the way. Like, yeah. I've gotten to know him personally over the years. He's an awesome human being. I've been a guest on his show multiple times. Love Rich Eisen.
Okay.
So, and the only reason I'm bringing it up is just because I thought it was, my point is that he put that out publicly. That was a bit on his show.
Gotcha.
And that there was at least one prominent analyst that was just like, do not start Dalvin Cook. Because I think it's a decoy. And so I think I saw some other people around the Twitter sphere talking about that. And I was just.
Anyway. Al Zeidenfeld started him in our guillotine league. So he is doing quite well.
Oh,
as well he should. I hope everyone did. I hope everyone started Dalvin Cook. It's like, right, I can't imagine benching him.
Rich Eisen has a lot of other injury questions for week 14. Because Dalvin Cook wasn't the only one that was an injury question.
Daniel, you're getting so good at getting us back on track. You guys don't even need me. But let me ask Stefania about a couple of Joes in Cincinnati. And we begin with Joe Burrow. Stefania, who last week played through the game, but his pinky by the end of the game looked like a thumb. It was so inflamed.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about Joe Burrow and his availability for Sunday in what is a huge game against your 49ers?
Yes. Well, you know, unfortunately for my 49ers, they will be facing Joe Burrow, and I think he'll be fine. Actually, if you saw what he was doing during the game, he was trying to manage the discomfort in that finger. They tried a bunch of different things. They taped it, buddy taped it, tried to wrap it, but he ended up pulling everything off and actually performed better once he had nothing on the finger. Of course, it was hurting him. He had some swelling. It was clearly uncomfortable, but he actually functioned pretty well. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. It's quarterback, is your ability to throw and deliver the ball effectively. He has been in practice, and he's going to play. So, look, 49ers, get ready.
49ers, get ready. And our rankings are reflective, by the way, of him playing and presuming, I shouldn't say no limitations, but normal functionality or close to it. We've all got him right outside of our top 10, Matthew at 11, me at 13. The other Joe...
Made my love list as well. I think he plays, and I think he plays well, and I think the way you beat San Francisco is by throwing deep.
Joe Burrow, Ben Baby just tweeted out, Joe Burrow is at practice this morning along with T. Higgins, and there is one player who was notably not at practice this morning.
And that is, of course, Stefania,
Joe Mixon, who has been dealing with an illness, and today was the big day. We were waiting to see if after not being available, he would be practicing today. So, Daniel, thank you. That news is very timely because now it's certainly... makes you concerned that he will not be available for the weekend.
Now, we'll keep an eye on this one. It's a non-COVID illness. We have seen players.
It can always change at the last minute, but it's certainly less.
What's Ben Baby's Twitter handle? Is it still?
Yeah, official Joe Mixon status account.
No, that's
like the name of it.
Oh, that's the name of it, right.
Not the handle of it.
But follow Ben Baby, because Ben will get you all the Joe Mixon news you need.
Money in the bank.
Yes.
By the way, Joe Mixon is the starting running back of my War Room League team. You know. And by the way, and I have Damian Harris and Ramondre Stevenson on by this week.
Gotcha.
And I already had Kirk Cousins playing last night, you know, and didn't do well.
I'm just saying.
It's a 16-team league. It's not like there's a tons of depth out there. You understand what I'm saying?
I know.
Yeah, okay. I hate all of you. I hate all of you.
So LL Cool J, he's a podcast host. He texted me a couple days ago.
LL Cool J. Nice.
And he asked me whether or not I should start Joe Mixon.
Sure.
Yeah. And like, he also texted a couple other notable analyst, Ed Eck, and fantasy analyst. Who else? Who was the other one again, Daniel?
Hello, Cool J. Who was
Who was the other one?
The other fantasy analyst?
It wasn't, I think it was Ken Dobby, I think was the other one.
Yeah, Ken and Ed Eck. And I was like, yeah, you should start him.
I love that you chose LL Cool J. That is so good.
Notable podcast host, right?
Yeah. I don't believe I said notable. I just talked about the fact that Rich was doing his radio show.
Okay, people want to hear about injuries. There's football.
I did not. Is there? Field let us off stray that time. That's not me.
I know.
I don't get the merit on that one.
It's not your fault.
Thank you.
Yeah, you sort of do, though, because it was because of you that he went through.
My fantasy team,
Oh, yeah, it is your fault.
Hey. It is my fault.
Let's talk about Alvin Kamara.
I'm happy to go home. Can I go home?
No, not yet.
No. Let's talk about Alvin Kamara. Alvin Kamara.
I'd like to get online and find a replacement for Joe Mixon.
Alvin Kamara.
Yeah.
If you had him in your lineup, you'd be happy because it looks like Alvin Kamara is going to return. Alvin Kamara fully participating in practice. This is good. It's really good news. And look to have Alvin Kamara on the field, especially because we don't know what the status will be of Mark Ingram, who was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list this week. So we shall see, but not looking great. And Ty Montgomery added to the list yesterday. So it's probably going to be Alvin Kamara and Tony Jones will be your running
back. I was just going to say, Stefania, like they have no choice. That they may have to play Alvin Kamara no matter what because they are so thinned out right now in terms of skill players that
but
are available.
He's ready. The good news is like you'd be worried, right, if we hadn't seen much of him. But last week he was limited and we thought he had a shot. And this week, full practicing, so you feel a lot better about it.
We've got him ranked inside our top three across the board at ESPN. Good matchup against the Jets, who themselves have been a little bit up and down defensively after a strong start, not so good recently. Tony Pollard's one that kind of caught our eye this week, Stefania. He had a 58-yard touchdown run the last time we saw them play, and it was beautiful. And it turns out it was also very costly.
Yeah, Ed Werder reported last night that Tony Pollard told him he partially tore the plantar fascia in his left foot on that run. I mean, this is a super painful injury. Remember, we were talking about Taysom Hill coming back and playing after he missed a game due to that partially torn plantar fascia in his foot, and the whole thing was he couldn't run. This is just such a painful injury. Imagine having something that is like, you know, guys describe it as like walking on broken glass or like a knife going through your foot. And when it's partially torn, it means there's still components of it that are attached. So as you stretch it, which happens every time you take a step and push off, it is more and more painful with the potential for additional tearing of that plantar fascia. Now, he's reportedly a game-time decision. Coach Mike McCarthy said he was confident he'd be there. I am less confident that he will be there. Just such a painful thing. Don't think you're likely to see Pollard.
Okay, so it sounds unlikely we'll have him. What it probably does is it probably reinforces the value of Zeke. I know there's been a lot of people have been wondering, will Zeke's workload decrease because Tony Pollard has been playing well recently and Zeke has not been the same player in terms of explosive runs?
By the way, I am told Zeke is feeling much better this week. He's been a full participant in practice every day. I actually think Zeke's starting to turn a corner.
Yeah, and Zeke has been saying so himself, right? He's saying, by the way, not only am I playing, but you're not taking me off the field. Zeke is a man of great pride in terms of his playing time, so it sounds like Zeke could be a very busy man on Sunday against Matthew's Washington football team.
Which is a tough matchup for him, by the way. Washington has played really well defensively, especially against the run over the last 4 weeks. They're the second-best run defense in the NFL, and so Zeke actually made my hate list this week. I have him running back 12. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you're still starting Ezekiel Elliott, and certainly no Tony Pollard would increase him a little bit. But given Washington's time of possession dominance these days, like, again, he's more of a high-end RB2 this week to me than, you know, the top seven guy that he's been most of the season.
Stefania, we said yesterday that Ben Roethlisberger is on the injury report with like a ton of injuries. David Montgomery is the same deal right now in Chicago. Wednesday, he missed practice. What can you tell us about his forecast for Sunday and what he's currently dealing with, which might be easier to list what he's not dealing with?
Right. Days. Well, after missing those four games earlier this year because of the knee sprain, remember the hyperextension injury, and then he came back and he's looked really, really good since, but he's been banged up with a variety of ailments. And it's interesting because on the Bears Twitter with their official injury report, he had three body parts listed: his glute in addition to his shoulder and a groin injury. On the official one that is filed with the league, there were only two body parts. So make of that what you will. Maybe he was feeling a little better by the time they filed the report. Maybe they just ran out of room. But technically, they are supposed to list all the body parts. In either way, I do think that you're likely to see David Montgomery. It doesn't sound like there's a lot of concern that he will miss the game, but more of the manage him during the week so he can be available on the weekend.
Since I get as well. There are four teams left on a bye. But because so much a league has already had a bye, right now is the time of the year that if you have David Montgomery, you should be rostering Khalil Herbert anyways because he'd be the next man up. And same thing goes with Saquon Barkley and Devontae Booker and all those players. We'll get into more and more of those throughout the rest of the show.
We've talked about this. We talked about this last week. We talked about it this week. Again, if you have a running back where there is a clear backup to that running back, you need to roster that backup. Again, right now, I mean, example, like, so I am bemoaning the fact that I might be without Joe Mixon, but luckily in that league, I do have Samaje Perine, who would be to my, that's, you'll see some Chris Evans, but I think Samaje Perine would get the majority of the work should Joe Mixon miss on Sunday. To your point, right? If you have David Montgomery, roster Khalil Herbert on the chance that he does not play. Again, that's the Sunday night game. So we may not know officially until after the games are started. You're going to want to be able to pivot. So it just, when there is a, when, if there is a clear backup to your starting running back and he's available on the waiver on your league, you need to roster him. Hopefully you've been doing that all along.
Stefani, your 49ers have got a bunch of injuries to running backs. They signed Brian Hale this week to the practice squad. But what can we tell? What can you tell us about Elijah Mitchell? This is the big one here because he's been so good and so busy for them recently.
Well, if you remember late in the game, he had an injury where he went to the ground. He came off the field. He was evaluated for a concussion. He was cleared to return, did return to that game, but then developed symptoms post-game at some point because he was added into the concussion protocol this week. And as a result, he has not practiced since. So I think as of right now, it's certainly not looking promising. Although he has not been ruled out, it does not look great for Elijah Mitchell. Jeff Wilson Jr. had a flare-up with his knee, so that caused some concern. But he did return to a full practice yesterday, so it sounds like he's in pretty good shape.
Jeff Wilson will be a very busy man on Sunday. All of us have him inside the top 30. I've got him at 24, Matthew at 26. But as high as it gets for the rankers at ESPN after removing Thursday night football players, we'll see some Jamichael Hasty. We could see some Brian Hill as well. He was a guy that was signed this week, could be activated from the practice squad.
And by the way, Cincinnati, over the last 4 weeks, there's been no team in the NFL that's allowed fewer rushing yards per game than the Cincinnati Bengals. Right, and that includes like a game against Austin Eckler. To me, it's a dicey flex situation here with the San Francisco running backs. They like they're run heavy, but again, like feels like you'll get Wilson and Hasty in the mix there. It's not a great matchup with Cincinnati. To me, I think they're flex plays at best.
A big one here, Stefania, is Deebo Samuel, who of course missed last week due to that groin issue. Could he play this weekend?
I don't think we know yet. This one's really iffy to me. Even though he's been listed as a non-participant in practice, he's been doing quite a bit of work on the side. He's been doing some running, and yesterday he was actually out there, brought his helmet with him, and he was in uniform. He ended up still listed as a non-participant in practice, but it feels like he's close. Now, of course, the 49ers have experience with returning players only to see them go out again with injuries that compromise them for longer periods of time. And Deebo Samuel's been one of those players. So I know they're very concerned about this, but they may also be, you know, at the brink of saving their chance to go into the postseason. So we shall see what they do with Deebo Samuel.
If last week is any indication, the player that stands to benefit the most is George Kittle, who had an incredible game. He had the most fantasy points of any player at any position last week. So if Deebo Samuel is unavailable, fire up George Kittle, as you always do in your season-long league, but perhaps consider him in daily fantasy as well. We know, Stefania, the Chargers are facing the possibility of both of their top wide receivers being unavailable on Sunday, but how likely is it that they have either of them against the Giants?
Yeah, we really don't know. You know, it's just one of these things with Keenan Allen, again, a vaccinated player, where you're waiting on these two consecutive tests. You need to be asymptomatic and test negative for two consecutive days, 24 hours apart, in order to be eligible to return. With him going on the list on Monday, you would think there's enough time. But again, their status hasn't changed as of right now.
Phil. Yeah, it almost sounds to me like Keenan Allen's a longer shot than Mike Williams, right? I mean, we have seen players return. TJ Watt's a good recent example of guys that have come back after testing positive that week as a vaccinated player. But we've also seen a lot of guys miss closer to 10 days. Nick Chubb was an example of a player who had to miss a game as a result of it.
Matt, just a reminder illness is one of those things that affects people so differently, right? Yep. And it's sort of all over the map. And now we're seeing, look, the Saints have a player in Cam Jordan who has like the Iron Man streak. Never missed a game. Might miss this week because of COVID. Yeah. Same situation. So, you know, the illness, it's all over the map in terms of how it affects people, but the rules for being eligible to return are the same.
And just on Amari Cooper, he was an unvaccinated player. So a little bit different circumstances there. But still, we have seen guys miss time and also come back and not be their normal selves right away.
Well, I mean, so, right, two things. Number one is, from what I understand, Mike Williams is also an unvaccinated player.
Right, but he did not test positive.
No, I understand. But I'm right. Just a lot of details here. And then, right, so Keenan Allen is, so we'll see. But the other thing is my point is that even after my point in just bringing up Amari Cooper in that particular instance was not only did he miss two games, but in the game in which he had been cleared and came back to play was that Thursday night game against the Saints, and he didn't play very much. Right. You know, it didn't look like he was fully up to speed. Right? Yeah. You know, he had been quite ill.
Yeah. And yeah. I think that was the thing. We had a hint because Mike McCarthy even said he was still dealing with a cough and his lungs weren't fully back. And there are several players who have talked about when they've had significant symptoms, the difficulty in returning their conditioning.
Yeah, the difference in Mike Williams being that he is unvaccinated. He's also not positive for the he is
a close contact.
He tested negative, right? He was a close contact.
He continues to test negative. So you would think that if he does play on Sunday, he would be playing close to his usual snap share, close to it at the very least, given the fact that he has not tested positive for the virus. Jalen Guyton and Josh Palmer are both available in over 90% of leagues. I think we all agree, like, there's a chance that Jalen Guyton could have another big day if either of these players are unavailable. I also think that we'll have a much better sense on Sunday morning, so I'd encourage you to watch Fantasy Football Now back on our normal home, ESPN2 at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, all the way up until 1 p.m. kickoffs. Stefania, Rich Bisaccia, the Raiders head coach, interim head coach, called Darren Waller last week to week. He started off this week by calling him day to day. How would you categorize him?
Still not practicing. Yeah. That's, I think that's the most important thing is that we just haven't seen him. And while they may be calling him day to day, his status really remains unchanged. And so unless there's a surprise in Friday practice, I think it's not looking great as of right now.
So that would mean Foster Moreau back into your lineup, Matthew. You've got him at tight end 11. Thoughts on Foster Moreau this week?
Yeah, you know what? I think he'll be okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know what I mean? But like, he's had two games as a starter.
Yeah.
He had one game, which was awesome. Yep. 6 for 60 and a touchdown against the Eagles. Almost every tight end against the Eagles does well. Then last week in his first game as a starter, didn't do very much.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think this is a big Hunter Renfrow game.
Okay.
And so could Moreau catch a touchdown? Sure. Again, I am at 11. I think he will.
Yeah, I do.
Board bet?
Sure, why not?
All right. I say Foster Moreau will not catch a touchdown on Sunday.
I say Foster Moreau will catch a touchdown on Sunday. Put it on the board. How many winning the board bets by? I got a feeling. He almost had another one last week. I got a feeling on this one. I'm not quite foghorn leghorning it.
Right, which, fair enough.
But I'm thinking about it.
Would not surprise me. Would not be shocked. I don't feel super strongly that there's no way he's getting in the end zone. Again, I am ranked him 11. I think he's a low-end tight end one, high-end tight end two streamer. He's fine. I just, you know, I mean, we don't have a large... I like Foster Moreau. He ain't Darren Waller. It feels like that offense is going to, for this game against the Chiefs, it feels like that offense is going to go through Hunter Renfrow and Josh Jacobs. Those are the guys who are touching the ball the most on Sunday. But to your point, no Kenyon Drake, you know, and no Darren Waller. And so could Moreau get a few more looks? Certainly could. I don't have a great feel for it.
Yeah, I don't know either. I just felt like making a board bet.
Me too. But I will tell you, and I think we're talking him up here in a little bit. Hunter Renfrow made my love list.
Yeah.
I think this is over the last 5 weeks, Hunter Renfrow is a top 12 fantasy wide receiver.
He's been awesome. He's been awesome.
I think it's a big Hunter Renfrow game.
In just a minute. But Daniel, time to pass it over to you.
Time to go for two, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer with a pair of players here from the same game. And Stefania, we are going to go first to the New York Jets, where Elijah Moore has been looking nice. However, it's questionable to play. What's the latest on Elijah Moore?
Yeah, he's got a quad strain, and Robert Saleh said they were hopeful. That's the word that he used, that he would be able to go on Sunday, and kind of said earlier in the week that they would know more as the week went on. He remains out of practice, so there's not a lot to go on. But so far, he has not taken the field yet. Judging from the comments, it doesn't sound like the injury was that serious, and Friday could be a big day.
How about this? Sounds like there's a chance the Jets could be without Corey Davis and Elijah Moore. The Saints could be without like their entire offense other than Alvin Kamara. This could be one of those like you're just down and desperate for a player in this game, Matthew. Would you choose any Jets wide receiver if Elijah Moore sits out? Like, are you firing up Jameson Crowder for the rest of the
season? I do think Jameson Crowder could be okay, right? So he plays out of the slot, which means he would avoid Marshawn Lattimore for much of the time. They're going to have to move the ball somehow. I don't think they're going to have a ton of success running the ball against the New Orleans Saints, right? I mean, the Saints run defense has taken some hits recently. But yes, I do actually think that Jameson Crowder would be a volume-based upside wide receiver three if Elijah Moore sits.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, the Saints defense is still pretty stingy, but yeah, I hear you.
But they've struggled more against – Thirsty Kyle, keep me honest in this, but I believe they have struggled a lot more against the slot than they have perimeter wide receivers. Again, Lattimore doesn't really shadow in the slot, so I think he'll look to – you know, I mean, you'll see like Keelan Cole on the perimeter – there, yeah, give me some Jameson Crowder this week, especially if Elijah Moore sits.
You know who I love this week?
Who do you love this week?
I love Taysom Hill, Matthew. Yeah, you love him as well. I've got him at quarterback two this week. He might have 100 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm at four. I mean, I love him, but apparently not. I don't love him as much as you, but here's the thing.
He makes my preferred dis-prefer column.
Yeah, your preferred dis-prefer?
It's coming out tomorrow.
Is it?
On ESPN minus plus.
ESPN plus minus.
It's ESPN minus plus. Yeah, we did sign
Field Yates to a long-term deal. And you signed Field Yates to a...
Yeah, we did sign Field.
But the only way
this is something we do. Daniel has a streaming services of own. ESPN minus plus was available via the fantasy show on ESPN plus.
The budget's so low, I have to pay them.
That's right.
To be correct.
$25 a show.
And as far as we can tell, the only subscriber is Daniel's mom.
Correct.
Shout out to Dot Mama. All right. So anyway, Taysom Hill makes the love list. Look, he's played five games where he's been the starting quarterback since the start of last year. He's averaged 21 fantasy points per game. He's never had less than 17.5 fantasy points. Seven of the last eight quarterbacks to face the Jets have scored at least 17.5 fantasy points. There's only been two quarterbacks this year, this entire year, Field Yates, that have had at least 250 passing yards and 100 rushing yards in a game. Lamar Jackson, you've heard of him.
Yep.
And Taysom Hill last week in a game in which he also threw four picks. That's what's crazy to me. He threw four interceptions against the Cowboys in his first start of the season at quarterback and still finished north of 20 fantasy points. That's how good Taysom Hill is for fantasy with his legs. Give me Taysom Hill as a top four play this week against a pathetic Jets defense.
Pick every NFL matchup for shout-out prizes with Pigskin Pick'em presented by Truly Hard Seltzer. Play at ESPN.com/PigskinPick'em or on the ESPN app.
Moving along.
ESPN Fantasy app.
ESPN Fantasy app.
I don't think you can play Pigskin Pick'em on the ESPN app.
You can play on the ESPN Fantasy app.
Let's get to our lineup locks for the week as we move forward here. I'm going to ask you a player. I'm going to see whether or not he is a lineup lock for you. Matthew, we begin with Russell Wilson, who plays against the Houston Texans. And I'm just going to mention this while we have this game queued up. Davis Mills will start the rest of the season for the Houston Texans at quarterback, which now means Tyrod Taylor has been a starter for four different teams. For the Bills, he got benched for Nathan Peterman. For the Browns, he got benched for Baker Mayfield. For the Chargers, he got benched after he got hurt for Justin Herbert. For the Texans, he got benched for Davis Mills. This guy cannot catch a break.
No.
It's unbelievable.
No, it's tough. I mean, you know, and he got injured this year as well. This one appears to be performance-based or future-based.
I think this is more about the future. He's certainly better than Davis Mills.
It ain't their year. Let's see what we have in Davis Mills. Let's get him some reps. So I agree with you. We like Tyrod Taylor and hope he finds a new home. But let's talk about this game specifically. I do not think Russell Wilson is a lineup lock. Okay. I don't think, you know, but I am starting him. He does make the love list this week. What was encouraging to me is what he looked like last week. To the eye test, he looked much closer to the Russell Wilson we've come to know and love than the guy that was just sort of muddling through this finger injury. First three games after he came back after the finger injury, he was completing 55% of his passes. Last week, 81%. Texans, obviously, is a defense that have struggled significantly, and they're the bottom half of the NFL in terms of pass defense over the last 4 weeks. They're bottom seven in adjusted completion percentage and yards per pass attempt, if you want to sort of get super nerdy there. But a bunch of stats to tell you what you know from the eye test. The Texans' defense is not good. Russell Wilson looking a lot better. I am as a top 12 play this week.
Go ahead.
You go, Daniel. Go.
Yeah, I want to ask you a follow-up question to that, Matthew, because obviously if Russell Wilson is on the love list, do you have the same kind of confidence in his wide receivers? Because while Tyler Lockett has done all right without him, DK Metcalf has certainly looked like a different player the last couple weeks.
He has no doubt looked like a different player. Some of that is on him. Some of that is on Russell Wilson. Some of that is on game flow. It is worth noting, three of the last four games, since Russell Wilson's come back. He's gotten at least 8 targets. So at least he's getting some looks here. I'm a wide receiver 21, so I'm just outside my top 20. Obviously, a high-end wide receiver 3. Did have that 33-yard catch last week against the Niners, which was encouraging. He's playing Houston, sort of something's got to give. But if you're asking me to pick between pick one Seattle Seahawks wide receiver, give me Tyler Lockett in this game. I actually have Lockett ranked higher than DK Metcalf. I'm at 18. I'm the highest on Tyler Lockett of any of the ESPN rankers. Look, first off, he's outproduced DK Metcalf in 3 straight games. Okay. And in wins so far this year, in games in which the Seattle Seahawks have won, Tyler Lockett is averaging 19.6 fantasy points per game. Seahawks are, you know, a touchdown favorite in this game, if not more. Give me Tyler Lockett as a top 20 play. He also makes the love list this week.
By the way, to reiterate one more time, I do believe that Russell Wilson has a big game. I've got a sneaky feeling on this one. I'm not, again, no foghorn leghorn stuff, but sure. I do think he has a big game on Sunday. How about DJ Moore, Matthew, who comes off of his bye, but the prior game that we saw, Cam Newton had his worst game as a passer ever, 5 for 21, but the matchup against Atlanta is not one that scares you.
It's not one that scares you, but by the way, you think back to week 8 at Atlanta against these same Falcons in a dome, in a more friendly environment, in a game in which Christian McCaffrey was active, right? And so, you know, in a game in which Christian McCaffrey was not active, right. He had 4 catches for 59 yards on 8 targets. 4 for 59. Same Falcons team, same struggling defense. Again, no Christian McCaffrey, 4 for 59. The last time we saw Cam Newton, he got benched in-game because of his play for P.J. Walker. Is Cam better? He's had two more weeks to be in on this system. But you're saying, like, in on this system. Well, what system are we running? Because, by the way, Joe Brady, the offensive coordinator of the Carolina Panthers, has been fired. Mm. Matt Rhule wants to run more. That was the rumor that has come out of Carolina, that the reason Joe Brady was fired is because he did not feel like Matt Rhule, the head coach of the Panthers, said, we're not calling enough running plays. Well, that ain't great for DJ Moore's fantasy value. I mean, like, since week 4, DJ Moore is wide receiver 37 on a points per game basis. He's had one game with more than 75 yards. Now, he's a super talented player. He's always got a chance to take it to the house.
You're playing against him?
You're not scared. I'm not playing against him this week, so, you know, he doesn't have that going for him. You're not scared about the Falcons' defense, right? They're a bottom 3 pass defense the last 4 weeks. But for me to sit here and say, like, he's a lineup lock, absolutely not. I will tell you that I have DJ Moore at 24. I'm as a mid-tier wide receiver 3.
So not
again,
a
because
lineup
lock. We don't know what kind of Cam we're going to get. We don't know what this offense looks like without Joe Brady. We don't know how much they're even going to throw. So, you know, again, DJ Moore, there's nothing other than just this kid's a talented guy. There's nothing that's in recent history that suggests DJ Moore is going to have a monster game.
Moving on here. No, I hear you. I mean, I've got him inside my top 20, but, you know, still.
You have him at 13.
I love DJ Moore. Yeah.
So you have him at 13. I'm at 24. I say DJ Moore is not a top 17 fantasy wide receiver this week.
So 13 and you have him at 24?
Yeah.
8. No, that's not even close.
I went to your side.
No, because
you wait 13 to 24. So I'm going
slots.
Up. I'm going up 7 spots. He's coming down 4 spots.
Right.
How is that a bad bet for him? I'm actually going. I'm favoring it. Towards
oh, I see what think you're saying. No, you're
he
right.
He has him at 13, and I'm saying I don't think he's a top 17. So he's only going down 4 spots.
Correct. I'm the stupid.
I'm
idiot.
Going up. Right. Yeah. I'm saying I have him at wide receiver 24, and I'm giving up. I'm giving up 7 spots.
Sophia, can you help here?
No, I'm trying not to pay attention.
Okay.
To this banter.
Think about this. Is that like if I have all like if we're going to meet in the middle, right?
Sure.
That would be 18 and a half. Okay?
You want to do 18 and a half? Okay. Right,
that's correct. Cuz that gives me extra spots. You're like trying to be Mr. Generous here and making the bet more skewed in your favor.
Oh yeah, you're the stupid idiot. I'm not the stupid idiot. Yeah, but in fairness to me, that's because I'm legitimately a stupid idiot, not because I was trying to be like, you know.
You just used so many words, I got confused by what was happening.
So funny. Field just calmly pointed out you.
You're absolutely right. I was legitimately was saying. First off, I'm not on a lot of sleep, but I legitimately thought I was.
Okay. I've heard it all.
I'm also not bright.
Listen, I was texting with with Rich Eisen, a radio host, and who else? Howard Stern, a fellow radio host, until what time last night? I mean, that was a late night for you.
Listen.
All I'm saying is I'm copping to this. But I'm just telling you, I legitimately was trying to make the bet somewhat favorable to you. I was not trying to weasel my way into I will take 18.5. I'm fine with that. I say DJ Moore finishes 19 or lower this week.
Okay.
Wow, this is the most painful board bet on record.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah. I say DJ Moore finishes inside a top 19 wide receiver this week. Put it on the board.
That was the worst. If you guys can't do better on board bets, that are
we'll
done
work on
here.
It, Stefania. I'm sorry. We got to keep moving here. Two more running backs. Are they still lineup locks? Saquon Barkley, who plays against the Chargers. Stefania, do we think he plays on Sunday against the Chargers?
Yes, we do. You know, he's got the ankle issue, and I think that's going to be something he's going to contend with all season. Jordan Ronan has observed that his ankle's been heavily taped, but he is out there practicing and seems to be moving well despite the tape job. Maybe because of it. But Saquon even putting in some extra work to catch passes after practice because he was upset with the drops he's had recently. So, yes, I expect Saquon to play.
Matthew, do you expect him to be inside your lineup this weekend?
No, I don't think he's a lineup lock. Now, I'm at running back 20, so I haven't said top 20 play, but super low. I'm much lower on him than anyone in the consensus ranks. His last red zone or goal line carry came in week 4.
Week 4, yeah.
It's crazy. Week 4. Stat. Yeah. Since the week 10 bye, listen to this about the Giants. They're last in offensive touchdowns per game. They're 31st in average drive distance. They're 29th in 3 and out rate. Saquon Barkley has two games this year with 75 or more yards from scrimmage. Two games with 75 or more scrimmage yards. He's had 16 receptions for the past 3 weeks. So you're like, okay, that's good. He's getting you like 5-6 receptions a game. They've gained 63 yards. 16 for 63. Like, he's averaging under 4 yards per reception. So it's like maybe some dink and dunk thing. Like, we've seen a big play here or there, but this offense looks absolutely brutal. I get it. The Chargers sort of a run funnel defense, but they played a lot better run defense last week as well. I don't know who's going to be quarterback for the Giants as of right now. It might be Mike Glennon. It's going to definitely be Mike Glennon. I know there was talk about Jake Fromm. Yeah. Huh?
The expectation is Mike Glennon.
Right now, the expectation is Mike Glennon. But either way, whether it's Glennon or Jake Fromm, you're like, this game is in Los Angeles at the Chargers. Like,
One more here.
You love yourself some Saquon Barkley.
Not really. I mean, rankings, yes, but that's more reflective of how bad the running backs are. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Matthew, let's wrap this up because we got to keep things moving here. He is a lineup lock for you, yay or nay? CEH against the Raiders.
No, not a lineup lock at all. I'm at 19.
Yeah.
He's had one game this year with more than 15 carries. Like, feels like a true time split with Daryl Williams, right? Raiders are, I get it. Antonio Gibson ran all over the Raiders last week, but I think this is a big patch for Mahomes' game. I think Mahomes made my love list. I think Mahomes has a monster game here against the Raiders. I think it's a big Tyreek, Kelsey, Mahomes game. I think you'll see CEH and Daryl Williams split the running back touches, and so you're hoping he gets in the end zone. I'm inside my top 20, but again, I don't think he's a lineup lock. I think this just depends. Again, and this is not necessarily, I'm not saying bench any of these guys. Right. It's just whether they're set it and forget it no-brainers.
Yep, that is the theme.
I don't think any of these guys are, with the exception of Tyler Lockett, I don't think any of these guys are, you must absolutely start them. All these other guys are, it depends on what other options you are. Check the rankings.
The phrasing here is that these players are likely still in your lineup, but they are not lineup locks, especially if you have done good things on the waiver wire or through trades throughout this season. All right, Daniel, a couple of week 14 loves brought to you by Captain Morgan. Bench boring drinks and sub in the captain on game day. Captain Morgan, the official spice rum of the NFL. We're going to talk about Javonte Williams in just a minute here. But Stefania, we can't talk about him without asking about Melvin Gordon and whether you think he'll be available on Sunday with a hip issue.
Yeah, it's interesting. He's still limited in practice. Sounds like he's pushing to play. I think the fact is, if he plays, they will continue to split the workload. Now, that may be dictated by how well he's able to perform if he's in the game. You know, he's still just not quite himself. Melvin Gordon's tough, and he, certainly if you're Melvin Gordon, and you're looking at Javonte Williams and what he's doing, you'd like to be out there and making sure you're getting your share of carries. But it really comes down to whether he's active or not. I don't think Denver will actively take the work away from him if he's able to play in the game.
Yeah, and Melvin is aware of what's taking place right now. He had some comments a couple of days ago. Like, he knows what's going on. He also knows that a lot of the affinity for Javonte Williams is not just people that root for the Broncos. He knows there's a big fantasy football angle here as Javonte's popularity has soared, as his fantasy stock has soared as well. If he does not play, though, Matthew, we think that Javonte Williams is due for a massive game. He would be inside everybody's must-start running backs list. If he does play, though, is Javonte Williams a must-start or no?
Yes, still. Little bit of just sort of common sense. Like, I don't know how you put the toothpaste back in the bottle. Like, I get it. Melvin Gordon is not going to completely lose his job. But I also don't know if you're Vic Fangio and you're Pat Shurmur and you're trying to keep your season alive. I don't know how you look at your team and you say, you know what the Denver Broncos need? Less of Javonte Williams. Mm. Like, I don't know how you see what he did Sunday night and say, yeah, that's what we need. Less of that. I mean, he was a monster, obviously, right? He's the only running back so far this year with 100 or more rushing yards and 75 or more receiving yards in the same game. Worth noting that in three of the past four games, again, games in which Melvin Gordon was active, other than last Sunday night, he's had 110 scrimmage yards in three of the past four. And so when you think about this matchup with the currently 1-0 on their recent win streak, Detroit Lions.
Undefeated this month.
Detroit Lions, they have still struggled defensively, even though, you know, they're red hot off their win. They're bottom five of the NFL in terms of fantasy points and rushing yards allowed to opposing running backs this year. So I have Javonte Williams at 10, but I have Melvin Gordon at 27. In other words, I've ranked Melvin Gordon. I'm assuming Melvin Gordon plays in this game. I still have Javonte Williams as a top 10 play, given his talent and the matchup with Detroit.
Daniel?
Just a real quick question. Matthew, you said you couldn't put the toothpaste back in the bottle, and I'm curious at the advent of toothpaste, obviously. Did it come in bottles like that?
Yes.
It did. It was like, it was jars.
It was jars of toothpaste.
You took the horse and buggy down to the store. You gave the shopkeeper a penny.
Yeah.
And yeah, he sort of squirted it into it.
Into a little bottle jar thing, like a glass cup.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you use? Like, I know the denture toothpaste is different than regular.
Wow.
What do you
buy? That was mean. So mean.
I'm taking shrapnel from all sides over here.
Mine was really because you said something silly. Field was just like, hey, you know how you're old?
I just don't know the answer. I don't know.
Every joke is some version of I'm old. Like, I get it.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still funny.
You laughed.
Hey, speaking about funny things, though, you were talking earlier in the show how badly you want to talk about Hunter Renfrow.
He's also old, right? He looks like he's 50.
No, don't let that headshot fool you, man.
Yeah, Hunter Renfrow, Matthew, who, no matter that he looks like he's a little bit old, has been unbelievable again this season.
Again,
I love him against the Chiefs.
I do, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, but again, over the last 5 weeks, he's the 12th best wide receiver in fantasy.
Yeah.
He's a top 12 fantasy wide receiver with 17 or more fantasy points in four of the past five. Again, over that stretch, top 12 fantasy wide receiver, at least 7 receptions and 9 targets in four of those five games. And now he gets the Kansas City Chiefs, who allow the third most yards per reception to the slot. Again, with no Darren Waller, some of this production has coincided with the fact that Darren Waller has been out. Some of it's also coincided with the fact that, by the way, he's a really talented player. Mm. He's just a good football player. And credit to Greg Olsen, the offensive coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders, who took over the play-calling duties from John Gruden, of finding ways to involve Hunter Renfrow more often. What we've seen is that since John Gruden left the team, we've seen Josh Jacobs involved in the passing game more. We've seen more creative usage for Hunter Renfrow. So, yeah, Hunter is going to be gathering fantasy points.
Wow, you just went there. You are Kevin Pulsifer is furious right now that you just stole that from him for a potential full screen on Sunday. Yeah. A few more injuries to get to. We have some time left over here. Stefania, Julio Jones has been designated to return from IR to practice. He has not yet been activated to the 53-man roster. Have you heard anything, whether it's from Mike Vrabel, Teron Davenport, who covers the Titans for us here at ESPN, or otherwise, to indicate that he will play on Sunday?
Yeah, Teron's been watching him closely. In fact, I was just texting with him because he just posted the latest video of Julio Jones working out. And he said that he's definitely increased the intensity of his running and he's looked really sharp. But there's still a little bit more to go in observation of practice before he'd feel comfortable suggesting he'll play. But it sounds like they could get Julio Jones back this week. And boy, do they need him.
They
were you texting
do.
Him during the show, Stefania?
Yes, I was. When okay, there was if you can
just do me a quick favor and just stay after real quick, and we'll just have a real talk. Go ahead and keep on going with the show, guys. But if you can just stay after for a second, Stefania.
This whole board bet that took like 10 minutes, I got like all kinds of intel during that time.
Okay, yeah. Good. Got it. Okay.
From who?
She from just, who?
I just told you.
Who, about who? You know what I mean? Like, not, I'm not, just Julio?
Well, no, we're not. Wow. We haven't gotten to the
you
rest of
them. You are salty this morning,
you
huh?
You are. Oh, my
God. Would I you play Julio if he plays on Sunday or no?
Probably because it's Jacksonville.
Okay. Yeah, me too. I have him at wide receiver 29, so take that for what it's worth. He's a flex play for me. Julio has not looked like Julio this year. We'll see whether that absence for this hamstring injury and other stuff has done enough to get him back to looking closer to what he was in Atlanta last season. Stefania, Jeremy McNichols, his teammate, has been out for a couple of weeks now with a concussion. Do you think he'll play on Sunday?
It's looking good for him. Okay. Full practices so far this week. Obviously, the last step is getting that clearance from the independent neurological consultant. But so far, I would say he's trending that way.
I think people are wondering, Matthew, if he plays with Deontay Foreman, with Dontrell Hilliard, does that mean that three running backs equals none for fantasy purposes?
I don't think so. I think it means I feel the most confident in Deontay Foreman. My expectation here is that Deontay Foreman would get the first and second down work, the majority of it. I mean, they used Hilliard on first and second down some in the last game prior to the bye. But my expectation is that McNichols is more likely to cut into Hilliard's workload than he is Foreman's. Remember the first game after Derrick Henry's injury, and we were like, oh, it might be McNichols who's been there this whole time other than Adrian Peterson, who they just signed off the street, and yet it was Adrian Peterson. McNichols didn't really get... His role didn't change much. Yeah. He was more of a third down change of pace guy again for the Titans. So especially given the production that they got out of both Foreman and Hilliard in the week before the bye, doesn't feel like, at least for this first game back, that all of a sudden it becomes a true three-headed monster. Hilliard makes me a little bit more nervous, but I still think Foreman is a viable flex play or low-end RB2. Worth noting, over the last 4 weeks, the Jaguars bottom five in rushing yards allowed per game.
Stefania, do you think Chase Edmonds will be available on Monday night for the Cardinals?
I think it's too soon to tell. You know, obviously it's a Monday night game, so there's only Thursday practice. It doesn't have to be on the injury report. We know he was designated for return, and it sounded like there was some optimism. There were some rumblings that he could be available this week, that they activated him or designated him for return for a reason. But, you know, still a couple more days for the Cardinals to play close to the vest. And based on how they were with Murray and DeAndre Hopkins, I don't see us getting a whole lot of intel until maybe this weekend.
Absent Sunday morning reporting from Shefty that tells you he's going to play, Matthew, I might consider pivoting here from Chase Edmonds if you could.
To what, though?
I mean, you've been figuring it out for the past 4 weeks without him, haven't you?
Yeah. No, exactly. I thought you meant like, it's the Monday night game, right? It's the Monday night game.
Yeah, so not like there's another running back available in that game. I'm just saying, whatever you've done over the past 5 weeks, unless you've been totally screwed, I would probably feel comfortable using that player.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think what you're saying is like, hey, we don't know what he's going to look like in the first game back. Not a great matchup with the Rams, not one that you certainly love. James Conner's been nothing short of fantastic in the time that Edmonds has been out. And so in the first game back, by the way, even when Edmonds was fully healthy and rolling, Connor was still getting all the touchdowns. You were hoping for big passing game usage from Chase Edmonds, and so maybe he gets on a Monday night, but feels like you want to take at least one more week, see how he gets back into the offense, see if there's been any sort of shift in hierarchy in that backfield as Edmonds has been out and Connors has continued to play very, very well. Connor, I should say. So I agree with you. Don't feel great about Chase Edmonds this week.
Stefania, one more injury to ask you about. That's J.D. McKissic for the Washington football team who missed this past game because of the concussion protocol. Where is he at?
He has been listed as limited, so it really doesn't give us a ton of information. I think we need to really see. Friday is obviously a big day, not only to see if he's able to get through full practice, but to see if there's any move towards clearing him to return.
Let's end on a high note here, Matthew, your Washington football team. If McKissic is available, I think we kind of know the value he brings to this offense. And if he's not available, I think Antonio Gibson might be a top five running back consideration. He's been unbelievable over the past month in terms of his volume.
Yeah, Antonio Gibson, by the way, also made the
Cowboy
love list
too.
Huh?
He crushes the Cowboys historically.
Oh, yes.
He only played them twice, but he's crushed them both times.
Well, and he's a big part of what they want to do, right? I mean, in terms of Antonio Gibson, like they want to control the clock. They want to run the ball here, and so Antonio Gibson, who's been been like everything. Like, I think he's averaging 27 touches a game or something like that.
For the past month, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, like, it, literally, their offense is hand the ball to Antonio Gibson, throw the ball to Antonio Gibson. Can Antonio Gibson punt for us? I mean, like, honestly, not punt.
Tressway is awesome. Yeah,
Tressway.
Tressway
has been one of the best players on the Washington football team for a long, long time. And so.
Don't you love it when our best players are special teamers, Matthew?
Jason Hansen
for a long time. And Matt Prater.
Anyway, yes. Anyways. Antonio Gibson is a locked in. We're not doing that segment anymore, but you were like, you know, is he a lineup lock? He's a lineup lock. I think he's a top 10 play. Gibson should have a monster game here. That's what they want to do. They want to control the clock. They want to extend possessions. They want to win time possession in a significant way. Keep Dak Prescott and the Cowboys offense on the field. And so Antonio Gibson is a big part of that. If J.D. McKissic were to miss for some reason, you'd see some more Wendell Smallwood. You'd see Curtis Samuel line up in the backfield a little bit, maybe a little bit Jared Patterson. But, yeah, especially with Jonathan Taylor on a bye this week, Antonio Gibson will compete for – you know, the league lead in running back touches this week.
I just want to make it clear that Antonio Gibson's season turned around once I grew agnostic towards his weekly fantasy output.
Because
for a while, it was just frustration. And he just continued to stay in the spiral.
I would defend Antonio Gibson and you would get angry with me.
Well, once we got past the point of it mattering where it was like, yep, like my best case in Aaron Ward was finishing ninth. Like once that became the reality, which only eight teams make the playoffs, then he got great. Yeah. And our team's been better recently. Doesn't matter. We still can't make the playoffs, but.
Yeah, it was a disappointing season. Like, I mean, he played through a high ankle sprain, basically.
Oh, shit.
He has a stress fracture in his shin.
Stress fracture in his shin.
Which was.
Matthew doesn't know the difference between a shin and an ankle, so in his defense.
They're both in the leg, guys.
Both in the leg. Exactly.
I know.
While we're talking about
Washington, and I'm talking about texting with people, it sounds like John Keim is telling me Ricky Seals-Jones will play.
Oh, good.
Gotcha. Wow, all right.
Stuff right there.
There you go, tight end. By the way, I had to put my computer down. I can't believe it's Fun Shirt Friday. You guys didn't even talk about my shirt.
Oh, such a fun shirt. I didn't even see it. That's a great shirt. I didn't see it because you had your computer up.
The more you know.
Yes, the more you know.
This kit was some of our V Foundation auction winners when they came to visit us, you know, a couple years ago.
It's an absolutely winner of a shirt there, Star Fanya. Well done there. Just real quickly, since you brought up Ricky Seals-Jones.
Oh, yeah.
He's available.
Love it.
Hang on. Love it. Hang on, Field Yates. Some of us over here are going to try to help people win.
Up. Is that okay, guys?
And you know what? I think people appreciate this because tight end is such a desolate, barren wasteland.
How would you compare him to James O'Shaughnessy? Let me ask that question.
James O'Shaughnessy at least got targets. Like, not
James
his.
How many catches last week? Big in Ireland.
He didn't have
zero?
A lot.
Okay.
He didn't have a lot.
Thank you.
Here's what I'm going to say about Ricky Seals-Jones. Okay, listen, still this going is me in. And you. Still no, but Lisa, back to me. Thank you very much. Ignore the rest of these animals. This is just me in the public here. Who's got your back? Maddie's got your back. Here's what I'm going to tell you. Over the next 3 weeks, the Washington football team plays Philadelphia twice. Mm. After this week, they play Philadelphia twice in the next 3 weeks during the fantasy playoffs. Mm. No team in the NFL gives more fantasy points to opposing tight ends. Logan Thomas is done for the year. If you need help at tight end, Ricky Seals-Jones should be picked up now. Mm. You don't necessarily need to start him against Dallas. It's great that he's going to be back, but I'm just saying, look ahead. Be smart. Use your noggin.
The more you know.
One last board bet.
Yeah,
I say Ricky Seals-Jones will not be the highest scoring tight end for the rest of the season.
Yep. Thanks.
Put it on the board!
I hate everyone on the show.
We gotta
I just
go
want to say that right now.
Now
except Kyle. Where's Kyle? Thirsty Kyle's the only one I like.
Kyle's abandoned you.
Yeah. 10 a.m. Eastern Time, Fantasy Football Now. We will see you back on ESPN2 for Matthew and Stefania and Daniel.
Maybe. I might not show up.
We'll see at least Stefania and I back on ESPN2. Daniel's available. We crushed it last week. Let's be honest.
Dan, you want to take my spot on Fantasy Football Now?
No, Matthew. You were too important.
Yeah.
We're back on Monday. We'll talk to you then.
Peace out. Whatever.
She's got a smile that'll melt your heart. She's always there to lend a helping hand. Her fantasy knowledge is just the start. Her skill are highly in demand. She's our
out there hustling for us with advice that we really trust. Bay Area lady, always there to help. She's not a cone, she's your favorite gal. She's Stefania Bell.